The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. Time again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here are your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We are back with more of the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we spend these 2 hours just kind of strolling down memory lane or talking about things like firearms and gun care and ticks and things that are associated with the outdoors, hunting, fishing, events, and all that type of stuff. And I will say this. I got the word yesterday that before the end of the day today, the House of Delegates in the Maryland General Assembly will have voted to pass these comprehensive Sunday hunting bill for all game species and waterfowl. The fight is going to be in the Senate. If you are for or against, that's where your battle is going to be. The committee voted it out this past week. Strong objections on the opposite side of those who are in favor of Sunday hunting, strong support on the people who are in favor of Sunday hunting. The House committee voted it out of committee and onto the floor. It will be on the floor and likely to pass today. Will the Senate do the same thing? Don't know. Will there be reconciliation if there's a difference? Don't know. Don't know if the Senate bill is different than the House bill. So that's where we are. We're winding down the last couple of weeks here of the General Assembly, and we'll either know yes or no whether we have extended Sunday hunting for both deer and waterfowl in Maryland after this session. So likely to be one of the last fights for Sunday hunting from what I'm hearing. So we'll see. We'll see. That's the number. Let's talk to Rudy Lukakovic. Good morning, Rudy. I hope I said your last name correctly. And we welcome you as a retired, long-time fisheries biologist with Maryland Department of Natural Resources.
Good morning, and you articulated the last name perfectly.
Good. Good, good, good. So, we're talking about catch and release rockfish. There's a discussion about it on the radio show quite often when the seasons change and things like that. And just to review, we are in catch and release season now. We have been since December, and we are running that season through the end of April, right up until May 1st, when the harvest season begins with the 19 to 24 inch slot limit on striped bass. I hope I've said that correctly.
You are correct. That
season runs May, June, July, 3 months, and then is closed for the entire month of August due to what is claimed to be heat mortality and dead bycatch or dead discard, however you want to say it, of the fish that are caught in warm water with warm air temperatures. The season comes back in from the 1st of September to the 5th, I believe, of December of 2026, with the same slot limit, 19 to 24 inches. I'm hoping I got that right. I don't want to put the wrong information out there.
I think you are correct.
I do, too. So that being said, during the catch-and-release season, and I've opposed this since it started, do you recall when the first catch-and-release season was instituted in Maryland? It was late 90s or mid-90s, somewhere back in that era.
It was practiced a long time before that, kind of just as a habit, as a practice. There was no law regulating where you could or where you couldn't. And then they became concerned about, obviously, the flats.
Right.
And that's when they started to regulate when and where you could catch and release.
I got it. Okay. All right, very good. And why? What caused the concern on the flats?
Well, it is a spawning area, and
right.
they were concerned that catching and releasing fish while they were spawning would be harmful for reproduction. It's a reasonable concern. There was no studies documenting whether or not it was.
Right.
People were wanting to err on the side of conservatism and
right.
say, let's not disturb these fish while they're spawning.
Okay. And so the studies that you conducted, and I ticked them off in the last hour, had more to do with hooking mortality than anything else.
Other than the flat study, that is correct.
Other than the what?
The flat study.
Okay, what? Tell me about the flat study.
The Susquehanna flat study. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about deep hooking, but
yeah,
it's all concerned with catch and release mortality, yes.
Catch and release mortality and hooking mortality more so than anything else as far as fish handling and things like that. So
correct.
My concern, and I've expressed it here, and I'm sticking to it, and yeah, I've got many detractors, I'm sure. The question I have that I don't think anybody has answered or can answer, as we discussed the other night, is whether or not catching a fish close to spawning, a big gravid female, gravid means ready, full of eggs ready to spawn, and handling that fish at that stage, the stress of hooking and even releasing, the stress of taking that fish out of the water, the stress of taking a picture, grip and grin, I call it, and then dropping it back in the water. How that affects egg production, spawn, fertilization, and all that type of thing. That's the question I don't think that we're going to address today, but I don't know that there's an answer to that question.
I would agree. There is no viable study that I'm aware of or one that could be done that would address that. It's pure speculation, but I think it's also reasonable speculation.
Okay, so you say there's no study that could be done. Explain, as you told me the other night, explain what would have to happen to have that study done with fertile, gravid female fish. What would have to happen so that you could study that? This is, to me, folks, this is very fascinating, and this is why we haven't had the study done before.
Well, in order to determine what happens after a release, you would obviously have to confine the fish.
Okay.
So you would take a large female that's pre-spawn, that was caught hook and line, and then confine that fish, and then put her in a container with several males so that she could spawn. Spawning is external, obviously, the fertilization.
Yeah.
And you would have to see if she spawned naturally. Did she spawn naturally, or did she abort her eggs from the stress? We had several large fish in the Susquehanna Flat study that were pre-spawn, and when we fished the nets at the end of the period, the eggs were, she was post-spawn. Again, was it spawning or was it aborting because of the stress? But anyway, you'd have to confine the fish with males. You'd have to collect the eggs if she released eggs in that tank, if they got fertilized, determine if the eggs did get fertilized. Were they, again, pre-released? Or were they actually released with the intention of being fertilized? And then collect those eggs, see if they develop naturally over 3 days. That's what they how long they take to hatch. Do they produce viable young? And then are those young normal, or are they possibly compromised because mama got stressed? And the only problem with this is if you confine a female striped bass, she will not spawn. The hatchery has done this, but they learned that they need to chemically induce the fish to spawn. And if we chemically induced the fish to spawn in this study, we would negate our results.
Therefore, impossible to do a natural study to find out whether or not the stress of catch and release on a gravid female is stressful or not. And does it do any harm? Impossible survey to conduct.
To the best of my knowledge, yes, perhaps someone smarter than me could come up with. That's the thing I've pondered for a long, long time. That's the one major question when we did the Susquehanna Flat study we could not address. The mortality was low when temperature was low, but what effect it had on pre-spawn fish, I have no idea. I could only speculate.
Wow. Gotcha. Let me ask you this question, and maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't. Currently, there's a giant rockfish hanging in the TAWS office building that was well over 90 pounds. And I think the history of that fish was that it died in the hatchery in southern Maryland.
That's my understanding, correct.
Pre-spawn. Do we know any idea why that happened?
Probably stress. I mean, when you take these fish, you usually collect them from commercial pound nets or electrofishing.
Right. Okay.
You've got to put the fish in the boat, take the fish to the hatchery truck, transport the fish to the hatchery. A lot of handling, a lot of confinement. The hatchery folks are very, very, very good at
it. Oh, yes, I've been there.
But occasionally, you're going to have a mortality. It happens.
Of course it does. Of course it does. So, but I mean, imagine that, a big giant 92-pound fish, I believe it was, something like that. Well,
you
exceeding.
Know, what the hatchery guys do when they catch a fish, they only take fish that are within 24 hours of spawning, and they can determine this by taking a little catheter, a little tiny tube, inserting the tube up the fish's vent, collecting some eggs, and by the condition of the eggs, they can determine how close that fish is to spawning. That's how good these guys are.
They are good.
They only take fish within 24 hours of spawning, because otherwise it would be too much stress to hold them too long.
I got you. All right. Well, you have a caller on the line, as we suspected. It is Lee. So let us do the first break, and then we'll come back and we'll share an uninhibited conversation between you and Lee, or unhindered, I guess. Uninhibited might be a little far out, but unhindered, that's for sure. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, folks, Backyard Billies, you know, they're getting ready for summer and all the stuff for your backyard, the sheds, the greenhouses, the combination shed greenhouse. You want to take a look at that. That's pretty cool. The dog houses, the chicken coops. The chicken coops, the kids' gym sets, they're great. The gazebos, the pergolas, the, all the stuff that's in their backyard. Well, a ton of stuff. If it goes in your backyard, Backyard Billy's has it. Not only that, but they have an outstanding collection of tables and chairs and those beautiful Adirondack chairs, all that stuff in Backyard Billy's backyard. Inside, they've got the furniture for your deck or for your beach house, anything and everything you need for the outdoor style or the beach style of living. And the big stuff, like the sheds and so forth, free delivery within 60 miles and setup, and free delivery to the Maryland and Delaware beaches as well if you got a beach house. You go inside the showroom, they've got the big green egg barbecue grills. They've got the outdoor fire pits. They've got the Memphis grills, which are pellet grills. You can just take a look at anything and everything. Make it a day trip. Give yourself a couple hours to kick around the whole building and see what's going on over there. So why not stop by? BackyardBillies.com is the website. 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billies is open 7 days a week. And don't forget, Hearth America is Maryland's premier fireplace and hearth dealer distributor. That's for sure. Route 50, exit 44, and that is Evans Avenue. If you're coming from the bridge on Route 50, you get off the exit, turn right into Drummer Drive, and you are right there at Backyard Billy's. Look, open 7 days a week, and guess what? When you visit and after your visit, your backyard is going to look just great. Now, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, Hale Thorpe, Baltimore, is having the last 2 days of their 10-day Let's Go Fishing Sale. Good weather. Let's stop by and check out the new rods and reels. They feature Ugly Stick Rods by Shakespeare Tackle, and Fluger as well. The Penn spinning reels are on sale, the Battle 3 series, all the sizes. The President series of the Fluger spinning reels are all on sale. You can save on premium monofilament line. Just take your spools in, your empty spools in, they'll fill it up with premium monofilament. You know, that can be Strand, that can be Berkeley Trilene, that can be the Shakespeare version. Good line from Shakespeare for just one, and starting at just 1.5 cents a yard, but it's half price. If it's 4 cents, you pay 2 cents. That's how that works. fishing rods, reels, combos, and all fishing tackle 10% off. And there's the Ugly Stick weightlifting contest, too. And check out what you do with that. You lift a weight with an Ugly Stick rod, you guess the weight, and you could win. What you win, I don't know. Kids combos, St. Croix fishing rods, great selection, St. Croix, premier fishing rods, that's for sure. Clyde's has live and frozen bait minnows, fishing license lures, lead weights, hooks, all the terminal tackle for perch, for trout, for panfish, for bass, for rockfish, for snakehead. They've got it all. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. I said that before. The phone number there is 410-242-6108, just off Beltway exit number 9. ClydeSportsShop.com is the website. Clyde's been around since 1957, open 7 days a week. Make sure you stop by, check out the sale, get your bait, go fishing. You'll be glad you did. Now, doing a couple more little things here, and then we'll get to the recorded portion. The Rocky Mountain Elks Foundation Chesapeake Chapter Banquet is coming up. I'm your host. I'm your master of ceremonies of the Chesapeake Chapter of the RMEF at their exceptional fundraising banquet. That's Saturday, May 2nd at the Point at Pintail, a.k.a. Pintail Point, Queenstown. The doors open at 7. I'm sorry, the doors open at 4 p.m. You, too, can join the fun and have a terrific meal with fellow conservationists. Tickets are only $50, which includes your membership and the Digital Bugle magazine. You and your friends can also enjoy a round of sporting clays for an additional $35. The range is open at 9 a.m., so you can shoot and then have a great meal. You can win great guns and hunting gear when you purchase raffle tickets, or you can play the games, you know, the stretch raffle. Two armloads of tickets for so much money, or an armload for so much other money, and other kinds of tickets. That crash you heard was my coffee going over. That's not part of the commercial or part of the program. You can win great guns and hunting gear when you purchase raffle tickets or play the games. And the winning starts right now. I'm giving away 4 tickets between now and then for this event to lucky listeners. Just be qualified to go. Just make sure you're going and you just don't want to win a ticket. We have other events for that. This is a fundraising banquet and we want you to attend. Just call in to 410-WCBM-680. That's 922-6680, our normal number. Leave your name and number with Aaron, our producer. Join me at the Chesapeake Chapter of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Banquet. Saturday, May 2nd, 4 to 7. Tickets and raffle tickets and register at rmef.org, RMEF, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation.org. For questions, give Denise a call, 302-335-3635, 302-335-3635. I'll see you there, and we will be right back.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com.
Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truck Liners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bed Liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market. And MilSpec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your MilSpec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec liner installed at Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. And Maryland Spray Linings is just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver. That number is 410-455-0800. 455-0800. These MilSpec liner dealers can install
any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment today to get your MilSpec liner installed.
At Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range, you can practice your wing shooting and sighting your firearms. And now you can relive a bygone era at the new Old Time Shooting Gallery. Plink away at colorful targets just like the carnival days. Use authentic 22 gallery guns and get the ammo right there. 20 shots for only $10. Tons of fun for the kids or grandkids in a controlled environment. You can compete with friends, book a birthday, bachelor, bachelorette party, and have a blast. Located just off Route 50 in Mardella Springs, you'll find a 50-station sporting clays range and a firearms range with distances from 25 to 500 yards. Take Bradley Road to get to Delmarva Sporting Clays. Inside Delmarva Sporting Clays retail store, you can browse new and used firearms in the gun room or select your favorite ammunition. And Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range will buy or trade your firearm. If you own a collection, they're interested. The website is dscfff.com. Call 410-742-2023 for Delmarva Sporting Clays, Rifle Range, and brand new old-time shooting gallery. Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much and want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. At Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. Bel Air Gun Range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports, competition, hunting, and home protection. Ammunition, too. Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL handgun qualification license courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. Call 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Lazy yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stump road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh, ooh. You and me going fishing in the dark, lying on our backs and counting the stars where the cool grass grows. Down by the river in the full moonlight, we'll be falling in love in the middle of the night, just moving slow.
All right, a little bit of Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Sounds like this show. Rudy, we have Lee on the phone. I'm sure that this conversation will be interesting. I'm getting some popcorn. So, Lee, the floor is yours.
Alan, I appreciate Lee. You letting me participate. Rudy, love you guys to death, man. You guys are on target, and I always appreciate Rudy's input with this his bank of knowledge about our Chesapeake Bay and catch and release. It's something I've participated in, since I started fishing up there in the probably 70s. But back in the 70s, we didn't have the caliber of fish that we see now. And the reason we see these fish is, through
conservation efforts in the department.
It's publicized heavily, but the fishery isn't used as strongly as it was used years ago because the it has dropped off, and I think the interest has dropped off. I'm not sure why the fish have gotten are there right now, but it's an exceptional fishery if it's, as I've said with Alan and with you all, is if it's done correctly.
Yep.
And with the regulations with hooks, you know, the types of circle hooks,
yep,
that are needed, lures, crimping down the barbs and whatnot, it's and the handling of the fish, you know, yes,
that's the big thing right there. Yep.
Yes. And you know, a fish handled correctly and taking a picture, you know, the hero picture, whatever you maybe want to call it,
yep,
is critical. And it's in a length of time out of the water. And Rudy, my question, I think I spoke with Alan about it last week, is what is they used to regulate a stop on catch and release based on water temp, and I would assume that was when they felt that these fish were in the progression of getting in the, you know, the spawn. Is that, do you feel that that's an important factor in this type of fishery, and when they do get into that that window of when they're going to spawn?
The question, Rudy, is the question, as I understand it, Lee,
yeah,
is that should there be some type of restriction,
a
cutoff of the season when the water temperature gets to a certain point, if we have a warm spring or something like that? That's the question, Rudy.
Yeah, what I'm trying to articulate to people is that there's a major difference between where the fish are caught. Fresh water, water temperature is a significant factor in mortality. So they're spawning in fresh water. So yes, water temperature then would be a significant factor in release mortality. But when salinity is at 2 parts per thousand or greater, which is a major part of the bay during the summertime, water temperature has not been a factor. We worked with over 1,300 fish, and we did not detect an impact of water temperature on mortality. Air temperature, yes. Water temperature, no. So I'm trying to tell people that there's a difference between where the fish are caught and what the environmental conditions are. Fresh water, water temperature is a significant factor. I gave a chart to Alan just trying to articulate these.
Yes, you did.
The phone is hard to do, and I know graphs are useless on the radio.
Exactly.
I was trying to share with Alan, maybe he could do it in a better fashion than I can, how water temperature is a factor in fresh water. It is not a factor in salt water.
The thing that your chart indicates to me, Rudy, is the fact that it shows there's a mortality graph on there. And what it shows to me is that the mortality is highest, not in August, but in July, that we may have picked the wrong month to close the season, because it looks like to me that the mortality spikes from about the end of June till the third week of July and then starts to drop back off. Am I reading your chart correctly?
You are, and you can see on the chart how the air temperature spikes.
Yes.
When it returns to more seasonal levels, water temperature does not change. It stays the same.
The air temperature is what spikes in July. That's right.
And if you look at the numbers of fish that we caught during July of that year, we caught 136 fish. We had a mortality rate of 23 fish died. In the month of August, we caught 131 fish. One fish died. So I think it's significant. And I've given this presentation to the Sport Fish Advisory Commission, to the Potomac River Fisheries Commission, Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, Charter Boat Association, CCA groups. No one has paid attention.
Rudy, back when you did these studies, what was the creel limit on, was it 5 fish or 2 fish?
We first did the studies in like 1996. It became apparent that during the springtime, particularly in areas of high fishing pressure, a lot of dead fish were showing up.
Mm-hmm.
We did a transect one day from like Love Point to Swan Point and counted over 400 dead striped bass.
Right.
And a lot of them had monofilament line protruding from their mouths. People were catching and releasing fish using J-hooks. And they also had a very high size limit. When the season first opened in the spring, we had a 26 and a 28-inch size limit. And people were catching lots and lots and lots of sublegal fish that would be legal today and releasing them. And with J-hooks and high air temperatures, there was a lot of mortality. So Bob Spohr, if you remember that guy's name.
I remember Bob, yeah, Captain Bob Spohr, sure.
Uh-huh. Very nice guy. I wish I could take credit for this, but he came to DNR with circle hooks. Say, I've been using these, and I'm really have reduced the deep hooking significantly. So we didn't have the money to do a full-fledged study at first, but we went out there a couple days, and we did see a significant reduction in deep hooking.
Uh-huh.
So the next year we got federal funding to start doing those studies, and they definitely reduced deep hooking and mortality.
Lee, you can recall Bob Spohr sitting at any fishing show you ever went to, sitting there tying his bucktails.
Yep.
Big guy, beard.
Yeah.
Nicest guy you ever want to run into, but that's what he did. He sat there and tied his bucktails during the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's interesting, Rudy. I did not know the history of the circle hook like that.
Yeah. I'll tell you another thing. That I'll throw out, and I'm sure both of you are all seeing this right now, is back when I got involved with, with the DNR and being a bit of a spokesperson for the, when they had the closure up at Conowingo and whatnot after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked with Marty Bass, and he said, whatever you present here, the best that you can do, being a layperson, not a biologist, is try to get some science behind your presentation. Boy, all we hear now is one fish. I'm losing business with my charter boat business, and everything is not related to the science. It's just about we need more fish. I'm losing business, and it's not. And I get that. I get it. But I'm not hearing that word science a whole lot
there
anymore.
You go.
And
you worked with Marty Gary. Marty Bass. Marty Bass was the weatherman.
Oh, did I say Marty Bass?
It's all right.
Marty Gary.
Marty Striped Bass.
Marty. Yes, Marty.
Martin Gary. Yeah.
Yes, and I'm sorry. But,
that's all right. Yeah.
He was very enthusiastic about, the science of things, and you just don't hear that anymore with in any talk anymore. You know, it's it was on the news the other day, and there was a couple charter boat captains complaining about the one fish. But I know it's all a back and forth thing.
Sure.
I think one of the Atlantic States Fishery allocates X amount of pounds for every coastal state, and the Department of Maryland has to divvy that up correctly as to how it will be used, but it's all very interesting. And
Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission adopts their guidelines and so forth, and quite frankly, Lee, and I think Rudy can back me up on this, Maryland has been the leader in trying to adjust their resolve when it comes to these addendums and so forth,
mm-hmm.
to err on the side of conservation, but also recognize the fact that we do have a fishery here, and people want to do is go fishing and leave everything else out of it. Did
mm-hmm.
I state that correctly?
That's the way I feel.
Rudy, I mean, people just want to go fish.
I think Maryland has been a leader. They were the first ones to institute a moratorium when no one else did.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Rudy, you said you guys were talking with the vent of the cow fish, the females. Is there a point where that is extended to prior to them spawning that I can look for to say, hey, maybe it's time to lay off? Or is there something I can look at the fish? I know they get quite a swale to their belly when they've been in the Susquehanna or flats, mostly from eating herring and shad and whatnot. But is there a point where you would say, hey, this fish is ready to roll? Or I've never had a fish spew eggs or anything, or I've never seen that. I don't know if there's an observation with looking at the fish to say, hey, it's time to, lay off the catch and release.
Well, all the fish are different, and there's really nothing external that can tell you how close that fish is to ovulation. They've got to actually do an examination of the eggs themselves, to look at the conditions to determine how close that fish is to spawning.
Okay.
There's really no way externally you can tell how close she is.
It is quite a sight. One time in the flats with my kids and friends, I got to actually witness the spawning of a rockfish, and it's an unbelievable. They don't want to bite. When they're in spawn mode, they don't bite. But to actually witness these large cow fish with the males bumping up against them, and then seeing the milt, I guess that's the right milk or milt as it's
right word, yeah.
Spread amongst the cows. It was really, what a beautiful, an incredible, incredible sight. I see the backs of the fish coming out of the water and stuff. I've only witnessed that once, and it only happened for one day.
Yep.
What a sight.
The top tank. And you can actually smell fish oil. You can actually smell the...
Yes.
It's really pretty pungent.
Yes, it was incredible to witness that. But we're definitely blessed here with quite a fishery that we need to protect as best as we can. And people with your insight and hopefully future will keep a good handle on it. I think the department right now is doing quite a good job with it.
Let me, I agree with you, Lee, and I think Rudy probably does as well. Looking at the science and trying to leave the politics out of it is probably one of the hardest balancing acts for anybody in any fish and game department in the country. So let me interrupt you fellas here for just a second. Aaron, do we have any other callers on the line? Okay. All right. We've got to take our next break here, fellas, and sorry for the interruption, but we got to pay the bills. So,
understood.
Yep. Spurry's Tire Service. So nice to go there. They're so friendly, and they're so qualified to do what they do, and they're always busy. But located right here on the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, that's just off Route 50 and east, and that's where the locals here get their tires and their auto service work done. But not just the locals. They come from the surrounding counties because of Spurry's reputation, and that's a good thing. Featuring American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires and any other tire you need, Continental and Toyo and Michelin and you name it, whatever your car or truck requires, they can get it, but they keep the Bridgestones and Firestones mostly in stock. Any make, any model, vehicle, truck, or car. And here's a great offer till the end of this month from Bridgestone/Firestone. Purchase four tires, which in the springtime, it's time. Receive a $70 mail-in rebate. Save $100 more when you apply for and are approved for the Bridgestone Firestone financing. I took that deal. I scanned the QR code. I got approved. I filed my sales slip with the financing company, and I'm awaiting my rebate right now. You can do that, too, between now and the end of March. Spurious Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard to your barnyard, garden tractors to farm tractors, and they have that terrific farm service for all the farmers in the region. They'll go right to the farm, right to the field, and take care of any tire problems or issues they have. If you own any kind of trailer, boat trailer, landscape trailer, any kind of ATV, it doesn't matter what brand, Spurries has the tire. Spurries offers tire repair, full-service automotive repair. They check, diagnose, and repair your vehicle when that dreaded check engine light comes on. Spurries Farm Service team, previously mentioned, their 24-hour truck service and more, has kept Spurries customers, including my family and me, satisfied for over 30 years. And by the way, if you see Mike Spurry out and about, in the shop or in town, tell him you heard about Spurries Tire Service right here on the radio. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires, or give Spurries a call in Easton at 410-822-7384. The website, spurriestire.com. The number is 410-822-7384 for Spurries Tire Service. We'll be right back.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truckliners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market, and MilSpec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your MilSpec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear, tree stands, tackle box, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec liner installed at Maryland Spray Linings. That's just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. These MilSpec liner dealers can install any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment to have your truck protected with a MilSpec liner today.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood. Year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, MadonnaSeafood.com.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
I say, how can it be that man owns the land? Can we possess the sky, the wind, the call of the seasons? Man does not own the earth, but rather the earth owns man. We are merely caretakers of the wild for our children. We must show reverence for nature, the ground we share, and the spirit of the wild. We must respect each new sunrise.
Sunrise.
Take a deep breath. Feel the spirit of the wild. Feel our instincts. Feel the heart of the hunter. Each new day, each new sunrise can bring a renewal of life, a renewal of the spirit. Keep your senses alert. Learn to appreciate the value of that sound, the excitement of that smell, that sight, the aroma of the woods.
Little Ted Nugent there before we get back to the conversation. Good. Okay, fellas, Lee what's your name? Rudy?
Yes.
Jeez. So engrossed.
Definitely not Marty Bass.
Yeah, I'm Marty Bass. Yeah. Looking at where do we go from here, fellas? What, you know, we talked about a lot of different stuff. Rudy, your suggestions to anglers from this time of year through the season, and of course the closure in August. We discussed whether that's the best time or not, but any suggestions for not only catching, any suggestions first of all for the catch and release guys now to the end of April, sorry.
Simply use artificial lures. You're going to reduce deep hooking. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the best thing you can do.
I agree 110%, Rudy. Thank you.
All right. And, Lee, you said something earlier about pinching the barbs down.
Yes. It's mandatory. You pinch the barbs down.
Yep.
I mean, we use one of those long-handled BOGO grips.
Right.
Long needle-nose pliers or channel locks or whatever to mm-hmm. avoid getting that plug or the other end of your lure and impaled in your arm or,
yeah,
or hand. And, you know, if you're not going to, if it's a fish that doesn't interest you in getting that pitcher, just release it in the water. Don't even take it out of the water.
Sure.
99% of the fish we catch don't even come out of the water.
Yeah.
We just bring them boat side, might take a picture of it in the water. Actually, it's fun to get some neat little video of the release because it's
sure.
a spectacular fish regardless.
No question. We could learn something from the muskie anglers in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that catch the giant muskies, they use the cradles to contain the fish before they release them. They don't take them out of the water. And, yeah, tackle box, Tim just chimed in here with replace the trebles with single hooks.
That's I've tried that, but the hookup is ridiculously low.
Okay.
I mean, you just don't hook the fish.
Gotcha. Rudy, what were you going to say, buddy?
If you do remove the fish from the water, make sure you support the belly.
Yes,
absolutely.
You see pictures of these big fish hanging, and you see the distortion in the body conformation from the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Gravity working on the eggs. The best thing you can do is to support the abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
Good one. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, these fellas, there are cradles out there, fish cradles that they use for these larger fish that they catch and release all the time. Those are good. I mean, they remind you of the old minnow saying from back in the day when you'd walk down the creek and kick up the rocks for helgramites and minnows and crayfish and that type of thing. They're that kind of configuration. But they are, you know, much more sophisticated than, you know, the two wood furring strips that you used to put on the sides of those things.
Yep.
So,
Alan, just we tried
yep.
the cradle.
Yeah.
But we had problems with the, again, we're using lures and, you know, the part one of the hooks or something getting caught in the cradle became a problem, so we stopped using the cradle. We just used the gripping tools,
the BOGO grip or whatever it's called.
It's critical. Yeah, you don't want to be, if you're going to take a picture, get a hold of the fish in the mouth under the belly.
Yeah.
And then lift it. Take a quick picture. And then, you know, get it back in the water ASAP.
Yeah.
Don't dilly-dally.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And like I say, if you can do it, you can get some pretty neat pictures, even of the angler with the fish in the water. You know, you get some, you know, unique pictures without even bringing the fish in the water. One other thing I wanted to, what do you all think of pre-trolling? Guys would troll, and this is during when we had our quote-unquote trophy season. They would locate the fish prior to into the kill season, and then they, you know, they're trolling these things, you know, and a boat that isn't stopping and it's dragging these things behind the boat. I think that's another. I've never known of Rudy or anybody yep. ever looked at any kind of studies with that kind of mortality.
You mean towing a trolled fish? Yeah.
That's you're trolling it. You're reeling it in.
Yeah.
The big fish, they're typically not stopping the boat.
Right.
And
but you got a tremendous amount of water going through the
right.
through the mouth, the guts,
yeah.
the gills. So, Rudy, go ahead.
So we never have never really addressed that. Again, the variables are so great. How long was the fish dragged through the water?
Yep.
Like that. You'd have to separate the fish and mark, well, this fish got, you know, dragged for 30 seconds. This one got dragged for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You'd have to separate the fish somehow to see where, at what point. And even then, what can you control? If, you know, you're trolling and you catch a big fish, you can't bring it in any faster than, you know, than you normally would.
Yeah,
you really
right.
can't reduce the mortality by any human behavior.
Yeah. Very interesting, fellas. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of the program today. Rudy, we'll invite you back for another trip. We really appreciate you joining us. And, Lee, thank you for keeping the conversation going, because it is, you know, it is important to have input from all sides, all angles, and we knew that you would be the perfect guy for that. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, no rockfish were harmed in the broadcast of this message, and Lee is an unpaid spokesman.
Yeah.
Hey,
when you guys are ready to go shad fishing this spring, I want to take both of you guys.
Oh, that'd be great.
All righty.
All right, man.
Thank you very much.
All right. Rudy, there's your offer. I appreciate your input today, buddy. Appreciate all your hard work for the department, and I know you're doing it for the fish, because that was your job for 30-plus years. So yeah, thanks again.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. All right, everybody. Thank you, Rudy. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate everybody. And there's the music. I got to say, get out, stay safe. Remember to love the Lord, love your family, and we will see you next week.